This episode of The Takeaway is supported by Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of The Takeaway and PRI's other shows while on the go without downloading or syncing with Stitcher Smart Radio. Thousands of popular podcasts and programs are available on demand. Stitcher instantly delivers new episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone without syncing or downloading. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone or Android app stores or at stitcher.com/takeaway. Foreclosures are up, and that may mean banks are working through a backlog of paperwork.
But it also means Americans are losing their homes.
I've talked to so many of my friends and other people that are in similar situations where, you know, we're responsible, law-abiding people. We pay our taxes. We obey the laws. And I don't see any reason why we should take the total brunt of this hit, because it was obviously, you know, had something to do with the bank's activities.
That's California homeowner Sarah McCarran receiving a foreclosure notice a couple of weeks ago.
The housing market might have hit bottom, but that doesn't guarantee it will bounce back up. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, September 16th. Welcome back, John.
Thank you so much. Back, glad to be back. It's let's take a look at the morning's top news, a reprieve and a last straw in the news this morning. The U.S. Supreme Court granted a stay of execution to convicted Texas death row inmate Dwayne Buck in Texas. He was scheduled to die yesterday for the murders of two people in 1995. But the court agreed to review the issue that race played an improper role in his sentencing. In his 1997 trial, improper testimony that blacks were supposedly more likely to pose a future danger to the public tainted the jury deliberations. Texas Governor and presidential candidate Rick Perry has also been asked to review the case.
A possible final nail in the coffin for Swiss bank UBS. They announced a $2 billion loss yesterday because of a rogue trader. That loss may be too big for the bank to avoid a large-scale downgrade.
This is a huge issue, and it shows that their risk management tools, those things in place to stop these sort of things happening, aren't there. And it just shows that maybe UBS isn't one of the only banks that this is happening at.
That's market analyst James Hughes. Reports out of Switzerland say the bank is readying a major restructuring to be announced later this year. That could spell the end of the UBS investment banking business altogether. Meanwhile, European banks got some breathing space from a meeting in Poland of central bank heads from around the world called Liquidity Measures. This new series of cooperation moves allows European banks to borrow dollars for months rather than just a few weeks to maintain cash flow. For the host of the meeting, Polish Finance Minister Jan Rostowski, measures like this were about instilling confidence.
Europe needs more solidarity on the part of the surplus countries, which have to understand that they, too, would be major, major losers.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner will join the finance minister later today. We'll talk more about the Eurozone in a half an hour.
The Palestinian Authority seems to be moving closer to forcing a vote on statehood in the United Nations. Today, President Mahmoud Abbas gives a speech on French television to reaffirm his commitment to forcing that vote. The U.S. is expected to veto it in the Security Council, but statehood is widely endorsed by the European community and opposed by Israel.
More signs of a stalemate in Congress as House and Senate leaders get around to dealing with the president's emergency jobs bill. House Speaker John Boehner insisted once again he will oppose any tax increases, urging the bipartisan supercommittee to achieve its $1.5 trillion savings entirely with spending cuts.
And President Obama presented the nation's highest award for valor to a living Marine for the first time in 41 years. The Congressional Medal of Honor was pinned on 23-year-old Sergeant Dakota Meyer at a White House ceremony yesterday for his heroic role fighting back after a 2009 ambush in Afghanistan.
It's hard. It's, you're getting recognized, you're getting recognized for the worst day of your life.
In the citation, Sergeant Meyer of Greenburg, Kentucky, is said to have saved the lives of 13 Marines and 23 Afghan civilians in September of 2009 during a six-hour firefight. Asian markets are up. European indices are up this morning. American futures are down, though. Yesterday, the Dow closed up 1.2% to get underway at 11,433. Profit-taking expected today. The S&P finished yesterday up 1.7%. It opens at 1,209, and the NASDAQ up 1.3% to start this morning at 2,607. Coming up this morning, more on the financial chaos in the Eurozone. We're going to find out what leaders are doing to steady those debt worries later this hour. But first, foreclosures have jumped up in August. We'll talk about the process of how homeowners are trying to work with banks to save their homes. That's in a few minutes. What's your story? Share it by calling 8778-MY-TAKE. We're going to talk more in just a few minutes.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.